Good morning, and we welcome back to the Daily Pod for her bi-weekly visit, 9th District Congresswoman Erin Houchin. Good morning to you, Representative Houchin. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing great.
Well, it's great to have you on the program as always. And, of course, to get down to business, of course, one of the topics that have been first and foremost on the national scene is what's going on at the southern border. And, of course, you've made several visits to the border to see the situation. And what can you tell us as far as the latest there and also action being taken by the House?
Sure. I've been to the border twice. I was there right at the beginning of my when I started my term, and then I just went again recently in January with the Speaker. There was a group of about 64 House Republicans that went down to the border for that trip. Interestingly, the Biden administration has taken, I think, 64 different actions against the state of Texas in their efforts to secure their own border. So that's continuing to develop. But Joe Biden has let in more than 8 million people under his watch since he took office. That's larger than the state of Indiana by population by over 1 million people. And the White House continues to say the border is secure. They're recently changing their tune, asking for funding for border, but what they really want is funding for more processing of migrants. And so the border is not secure. I've seen it firsthand. Some of these blue states are waking up to the problem now that they're being inundated with some of these illegal migrants, and they're so overwhelmed. It's a humanitarian crisis. So a few things we're doing in the House: we passed H.R. 2, which is the Secure the Border Act. We passed that more than 7 months ago. That includes Remain in Mexico and many of the Trump-era policies that were working. That is sitting in the Senate unmoved. We have to restore the policies that will fix the problem. This is not a matter of funding. It's a matter of the will to institute the policies that work. Also, this week, we'll be considering impeachment proceedings on Secretary Mayorkas of the Department of Homeland Security for being derelict in his responsibilities to secure our southern border.
And as far as that's concerned, that's been something. Now, as far as can you discuss the specifics as far as what he has or has not done allegedly?
I mean, for one, letting 8 million people in across the southern border, more than any, in one, this is a humanitarian crisis. There is no protection at the southern border. 100,000 children have been lost who have crossed the southern border unaccompanied. There are 100,000 missing children under Secretary Mayorkas' watch. Not to mention the fact that not only does Border Patrol, not have what they need under this administration and his watch, much of that has been taken away. So people are brazenly crossing the border. The number one mission of the Department of Homeland Security under Secretary Mayorkas is to protect the nation from the greatest threat. And we don't even know who's coming across the border. We know that there are known terrorists who have crossed the border. We are experiencing an invasion of epic proportions a little bit at a time. If this many people were trying to, from a military perspective, come onto the shores of the United States, we would be, I would hope that we would be pushing back from as a military force to protect the United States from this invasion. But it is an invasion from the south, and it's trickling in, and it's terrifying. Given the fact that some of the people in the terror watch list who we know about are in, and after what happened in Israel with Hamas coming across their border and committing slaughter on October 7th.
All right, then shifting gears, another matter that is front and center is the fight and the debate over school choice.
Yeah, so I was a strong supporter of school choice in the Indiana General Assembly. This is about giving parents the power to make the best educational decisions for their children. So, it used to be if you lived in a certain zip code, that was the school you had to go to. And now we have school choice where you can choose a different school, particularly a different public school, without having to pay tuition. And then there's also charter schools and other educational options. But parents should be in charge of that. So we've been considering, last week was National School Choice Week. So we did some promotion of some of those options, including charter schools, private schools, homeschooling, and then, of course, additional other public schools. But each child has unique strengths. It makes school choice the best option for our students, particularly in Indiana. We want to make sure that parents are in the driver's seat of their children's education, not bureaucrats. Certainly the pandemic opened, you know, American parents' eyes to what's going on in our public schools, and they did not like what they saw. So, you know, parents want to make those decisions, and school choice initiatives allow them to do that. We considered in Congress this year, or during my first month in Congress last year, the Educational Choice for Children Act, which allows tax credits for contributions to organizations that provide scholarships for students to attend a school of their choice.
All right, and then with that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick time out. We'll continue our conversation with 9th District Congresswoman Erin Halchin right after this.
Don't adjust your radio. The sound that you hear is your stomach. You're having trouble focusing. You can't recall your last meal. You're trapped in the hunger zone. The solution, Batesville To Go. Let To Go deliver a hot, fresh meal to your home or office whenever hunger strikes. To Go delivers the best food from local restaurants. Visit us online at togodelivers.com or call us at 812-727-8800. Batesville To Go. Big city convenience, small town taste.
And welcome back as we continue our biweekly visit with Erin Halchin. She represents Indiana's 9th Congressional District on Capitol Hill. And you filed some legislation in the House. This is the Access to Foster Care Through 21 Act.
Yeah, Tom, thank you. Most people know that I spent the first part of my career working in child services. So this is something that's certainly close to my heart. I was recently visited by some remarkable students in D.C. from Indiana who were foster kids. They aged out of foster care. Now they're in college. One young man went to Ball State University and got his degree and is now working as a case manager for child services. Just remarkable stories of their resilience. But what this bill does is it incentivizes states to keep kids under services until they're 21. Indiana does a great job. We allow kids to continue services till they're 23, but some states do not extend foster care or foster care services or services to youth that age out past the age of 18. So we want to provide support to these young adults. I mean, here's an example of one of the challenges there. If a state, home state, doesn't have foster care eligibility up to 21, if they do go to college, you know, my children, your children across the country go home to their parents or their guardians during school breaks, but foster kids that age out of the system have no place to go during those breaks. So housing is an issue for them. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to support them in whatever is next on their journey.
And another thing, Congresswoman Halchin, you're going to be involved in a working group regarding artificial intelligence, more commonly known as AI.
Yeah, I was excited to be named, appointed to the AI working group as a member of the Financial Services Committee. So artificial intelligence is certainly an emerging technology. And as it comes to be, we want to make sure that we're examining the impacts of that, both the positive ones and the negative ones. Our emphasis will be on the financial services and housing sectors, including ways that regulators and industries and consumers are using it. It has an incredible potential to increase, you know, certainly efficiency and expand opportunities, but however, there are certain risks involved with the technology, and we want to make sure that we're certainly keenly aware of the potential risks as we're preparing to make policy surrounding AI.
And is there a timeline for when this working group would have something to put before both the House and or the Senate?
There's no timeline right now, Tom. I mean, we've only just been formed, and we will let the discussions lead the legislation as that develops. Right now, we're in the stages of just investigating what the potential benefits and risks are, and then we'll hopefully have some legislation coming from that at some point in the coming months.
All right. And then, of course, if somebody has a comment or they want to voice an opinion on legislation, or if they have an issue with a federal agency that you hope that your office can help them with, how can folks go about contacting your office?
Sure. The office in Jeffersonville is certainly accessible if people need assistance with a federal agency. The phone number there is 812-288-3999. It's 812-288-3999. And also always on the web at houchin.house.gov.
All right. So again, houchin.house.gov. Very good. All right. Well, as always, Congresswoman Erin Houchin, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for joining us. Stay well, and look forward to speaking with you again in about 2 weeks.
You too, Tom. Thank you so much.